Now, I do appreciate everyone that made it out this morning on such a beautiful day. It must have been hard to come inside here when our weather is so un-July-like. Now, one of the hallmarks of the Unitarian Universalist faith is that we seek truth by drawing from many sources, including the teaching of major world religions. Thus, it is not surprising that Buddhism is one of these sources. What may be surprising is a statement made by James Ishmael Ford in his article in the current edition of the UU World entitled, "What is Unitarian Universalist Buddhism?" In this article, Mr. Ford says, quote, "Buddhism is one of the two deeply important spiritual currents informing Unitarian Universalism today," unquote, the other being feminism. And he goes on to say that Buddhism, along with feminism, may well reshape Western religious thought in general, and Unitarian Universalism in particular. Now, these are fairly bold statements about an ancient religion which, despite more than 160 years of connection with Western liberal religious thinkers, the religion is still widely misunderstood. And this morning I'd like to spend some time looking deeper at the spiritual connections between Unitarian Universalism and Buddhism, as well as examining some areas of difference. Now let's begin by taking a closer look at the title that I chose for today's sermon, Compassion and Awareness. Now, perhaps a better title would have been Awareness and Compassion, with an emphasis on the and. Awareness, along with enlightenment, is often what comes to mind first when we think of Buddhism. The very name Buddha can be translated as the awakened one. And I believe there's a natural focus on this aspect of Buddhism because of the meditation practice. Perhaps it is easier to understand meditation as a path to enlightenment than as a path to compassion. In Buddhist teachings, however, compassion and awareness are equally important. The Buddhist teacher and author Tara Brach has a wonderful analogy that grounds the importance of both of these ideas. I think it is also instructive to note, as James Ford pointed out in his article, that Tara Brach grew up as a Unitarian Universalist. And she's now renowned in her teachings on Buddhism. Now, the analogy she gives is that imagine that we are a child and that our parents can provide us compassion in the form of love, or they can provide awareness in the form of attention, or they can provide both. Now, we can see that attention without the love could be harmful. The wrong kind of attention is certainly not helpful to the child. And likewise, love and giving the child the things they need for living without the appropriate attention would leave us feeling empty. And therefore, both are necessary to nurture the healthy child. In the same way, both compassion and awareness are necessary to nurture ourselves or to nurture those around us and the world as a whole. I also have a personal experience that drove home this point about awareness and compassion. Early on in my practice of Buddhist meditation, I had often noticed how children tend to appear to be living in the present moment as opposed to being preoccupied with the future or the past, as adults often are. And living in the present moment is a goal of Buddhist teaching. And around that time, Pam and I went on a week-long Buddhist retreat, and I had the opportunity to ask one of the monks whether children display the state of mindfulness that adults seek through meditation and other daily practices. And after pausing some time to reflect on the question, the monk answered that children often display awareness, but that awareness without deep understanding and the resulting compassion does not comprise a state of mindfulness. That's not to say that children can't express compassion or mindfulness, but it's not the natural state of awareness that we often see. The revelation for me was that my meditation practice was as much about understanding and compassion as it was about awareness and living in the present moment. And again, we see that compassion and awareness go hand in hand. Now, what does all this have to do with Unitarian Universalism? Well, to begin with, I firmly believe that both Unitarian Universalism and Buddhism hold a special place amongst world religions. Unitarian Universalism teaches us that we are free to choose our own spiritual path and encourages us to draw from many sources to find truth. And in a similar way, Buddhist teachings do not lay out a set of beliefs, but rather provide a set of practices through which followers may seek to discover the truth for themselves. Now, this aspect of Buddhism contributes to its mysteriousness in the Western culture, the no God concept, or the no answers, and many of the seemingly contradictory statements really stem from providing a set of directions as opposed to here are the answers. Now, another way of looking at the connection is that meditation and these other practices of mindfulness are more akin to the Unitarian Universalist practice of going to the library for study or engaging in social discourse during coffee hour. Each is a way that we seek to find the truth. And other major religions would typically ask their followers to read a doctrine to know the truth. Neither Unitarian Universalism nor Buddhism will take such an approach. And if we look at our seven principles in Unitarian Universalism, we see that compassion is explicitly called out in the second principle, to affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. But I would go further to say that compassion is a theme throughout all seven principles, with such phrases as the inherent worth and dignity of every person, peace, liberty, and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of all existence. Of course, these ideas are not unique to Buddhism or Unitarian Universalism, as all major religions really do promote compassion. The connection along the lines of awareness are more inclined to set these two religions apart from others. In Unitarian Universalism, I see awareness as our goal to live in the here and now, in this world, rather than living in some afterlife, or living for some afterlife. John Herndon spoke very eloquently on this topic last Sunday, pointing out that living for today is something that truly sets our faith apart from mainstream Christianity. More than 70 years of the influence of humanism on our faith has cemented the idea that we alone decide what to make of this life, and so it is up to us to make the best of it. Living in the real world is another area of misunderstanding about the Buddhist practice. On the surface, the practice of meditation and the goal of enlightenment appear to separate the practitioner from the real world. But in fact, the opposite is true. The goal in Buddhism is to be living so much in the real world that enlightenment takes place in the form of understanding. To become one with everything also means to be a part of the all. And in addition to these connections, there are, of course, many differences between Unitarian Universalism and Buddhism. I will focus here on just two: the spiritual practices and our response to war and violence. The level and type of spiritual practice are probably the starkest differences between the two religions. Intellectual discourse and debate are central to Unitarian Universalism and actually are part of our spiritual practice. Prayer and meditation are included, but they play a secondary role in how we seek the truth. The connection between the mind and body is also de-emphasized in Unitarian Universalism. In Buddhism, these connections are central. Meditation practice begins with a focus on breathing. Now, the reason that breathing is used is that it is the most visible autonomic process that can also be controlled consciously. So that's the intellectual reason, I guess, for why breathing is central to Buddhist meditation. The breath itself provides a connection between the mind and the body. And when we focus on our breath, we connect the two. The practice of mindfulness begins with this connection. We become aware of the true nature of our mind and body, the true nature of the world around us. We gain a deep understanding, and this understanding is the beginning of compassion. So even though the goals are ultimately similar, awareness and compassion, the paths to attain these truths as spiritual practices are quite different. Another key difference between the two religions is the response to war and violence. Buddhism has a very clear message that compassion is to be afforded to all sentient beings, whether identified as our enemy or not. My personal understanding of the depth of this idea came shortly after the attacks on 9/11. At that time, Pam and I were regularly attending a Saturday evening meditation session at the Thai Buddhist temple in Florissant. And during the next meditation session following the attacks, I was struggling with the idea of compassion for the terrorist that had just committed these terrible crimes. I asked the monk for help in resolving this conflict. The monk responded that through meditation, we could obtain a deeper understanding and see that the terrorist also suffers and thus deserves our compassion. A natural reaction in response to violence is hate and revenge. The Buddhist comment is that this response stems from the lack of awareness, a lack of true understanding. Now again, at the time of the 9/11 attacks, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk that wrote the story you read earlier, a monk that's also known widely for his anti-war activism. He happened to be in the U.S. at the time, only travels over here from France about every 2 years, but he happened to be conducting a series of retreats. And after the attacks, he changed his schedule and arranged to give a special talk in New York City 2 weeks later. At that time, he expressed the concern that the U.S. response to the attacks would be violent retaliation. His talk focused on extending compassion to those that were suffering and seeking a path to a nonviolent response. Of course, in what may be the understatement of the decade, his words were not heeded by our leaders. At that time, even many on the left in this country disagreed with the nonviolent approach. I can't count how many times I've heard statements like, going to Afghanistan was justified, but invading Iraq was not. It's hard to count these because I know I made such statements myself. Now I wonder whether going to Afghanistan was justified after all. The timeless lyrics by Marvin Gaye ring true today as they did almost 40 years ago. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. At the 2006 General Assembly in St. Louis, the UUA launched a study action issue on peacemaking. The study action issue is the first step in the process in creating a statement of conscience, and a statement of conscience is the primary way that we as Unitarian Universalists speak with one voice on social issues. And the statement of the issue on peacemaking is encouraging from a Buddhist perspective. It reads, "Should the Unitarian Universalist Association reject the use of any and all kinds of violence and war to resolve disputes between peoples and nations and adopt a principle of peace through a nonviolent means?" Now, I believe the main struggle within our faith is with the phrase "any and all." The study action issue document adopted by the General Assembly lists a series of study questions on the topic. The first question suggests that we instead adopt a specific and detailed just war policy. The second question in the list suggests that we reject violence in any form. Now, I believe it is important that we as individual members in the faith seek a resolution to these two conflicting ideas in our own hearts. Is there such a thing as a just war? If not, would Hitler have been allowed to rule Europe and perhaps most of the world? Conversely, is it true that hate cannot conquer hate, that only love can conquer hate? We as a congregation also have an obligation to have our voice heard on this issue, and I encourage you to provide your input on the topic to the Social Justice Committee. More information about the study action issue can also be found on the UUA website, uua.org. And furthermore, I encourage you to join forces with the Social Justice Committee and act on your beliefs. If you think about it hard, compassion and awareness together, lived out, becomes social action and social justice. Namaste.